Last Sunday I read from Matthew chapter 6 from the Sermon of the Lord, Sermon on the Mount, and part of it was the Lord's Prayer, and in the Lord's Prayer he was trying to show them the importance of believing God, knowing God, and knowing God's will. That was the sermon, knowing God's will. Today I want to read from the 7th chapter of Matthew. Continuation of the Sermon on the Mount. Beginning with the 13th verse of the 7th chapter. Matthew 7:13, enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you as sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast down devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Now I'm going to conclude the reading there. As Jesus was concluding the Sermon on the Mount, he exhorts the people to enter in at the straight gate. Enter ye in at the straight gate. So he was trying to explain to them that there are two ways, there are two routes to taking life. Two routes that we're traveling in life. One is the broad road and one is the narrow road. I'm going to mention two things briefly about the broad road. It says multiplied millions, the Bible lets us know, and even today, multiplied millions are on that way, but they do not know the end results. Let me say that again. Millions today are traveling the broad road without knowing that it leads to destruction. That it ends up with torment and damnation and hell. They do not know. That's why the Lord gave the commission to the church to go everywhere and tell everyone. That's why we as a missions-minded church give commission so that churches might be built and missionaries might be sent out and people might hear the word of God. When I saw on the television what happened in that mall in Nairobi, in Kenya, this church for some 20 years or more have given money to the missionary in Kenya, in Nairobi. And Brother Philip Liss has been in our church. He picked for us. Had he built that great church, Calvary Church, in Nairobi. Tremendous Pentecostal Holiness Church in Nairobi. And I thought as I saw the people running and the very shots they had on television, of the prosperous sum of that church was in that mall that day. Could easily have been. And so what are you saying, preacher? We as a missions-minded church are called to share the gospel with everyone everywhere.
Right.
And so before I go on, let me just pause to say thank you, church, for the ways you've given to missions over the years. God bless you. The broad road. Millions on it that don't know where they're headed. But the sadder part is the multitudes that are on that road and know they're headed for destruction. Many have been saved. Many have known of God. Many were raised in Christian homes. So many know the end of the destination on that broad way that leads to destruction. They know it. And yet they refuse to turn around. That's even sadder than the first part. Yes. Then there's a narrow way. It's straight. I am willing to see what the dictionary had to say about it, and it said that it's limited space. It's close. In essence, it's saying there's not room for excess baggage. Let me say that spiritually speaking. There's no room on the straight and narrow for the things of the world. Yet compared to the broad road, the Bible says only a few. On that straight and narrow way that leads to eternal life, only a few are walking that way. And the broad road, the multitudes are going on down. Every lane is filled, headed for destruction. Jesus, on another occasion while he was ministering, he said, "Don't be deceived. Don't let anyone deceive you." I'm going to read from the 24th chapter of Matthew a few verses. I'm going to read verses 4, 5, 11, and 12. He said, and Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, but shall deceive many." Verse 11, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Verse 12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And then verse number 24, for there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Let me share this with you today. Don't let anyone deceive you. Stay in the Word of God, obey God, and live in victory. Yeah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. False prophets of our day, they're abounding everywhere. They're proclaiming, and I just used one illustration, they are proclaiming the false prophets on the radio, on the television, behind pulpits around the world. That's proclaiming, many of them are proclaiming, we are right today in the midst of a great worldwide revival. Now I want to share something with you. God is able to give revival to every one of us today. You believe that?
Yes.
Amen. There are those that teach we are already in a great revival. Some believe we are already in the millennial reign. Mm-hmm. They're deceived.
Yeah.
The Bible says in the last days will be perilous times. Yeah. And men's hearts will have, how men will be wax worse and worse. How the days will be evil. And then there are so many false prophets are saying that things are getting better and better and better and better. In fact, we're on our way to a utopia. Everything is going to wind up just, and then the Lord's coming. That's what we're teaching. That's false teaching.
Yes,
we're not in a worldwide revival. We can have a family revival. We can have a church revival. We can have a city revival. We can have all that we really need. It was just pale blue God.
Amen.
As a nation.
Amen.
We need a revival in Washington, D.C.
Sure,
and in Hampton, Virginia.
Amen.
And everywhere in between.
Oh,
please keep in mind, we are not headed. The way the world is going, we're not headed for a utopia. We're headed for tribulation.
Yes.
We were singing a song a while ago that the Lord's going to come. And after the Lord comes, there's going to be tribulation. A lot of people don't want to believe that. But it's going to happen. The broad road leads to destruction.
Amen.
The narrow road leads to heaven.
Amen.
By the grace and help of God, I plan to be on the narrow road. And end up in glory. As my destination. Amen, amen. Paul said, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. The Bible lets me know the Lord's coming, that we're living in the day of the apostasy, the falling away, but God has enough grace for every one of us to live a victorious life and stand the test and the faith of God be real in our life. We should make it, everyone. Rather than having a great revival, the religious world is stumbling along in the great apostasy. Some time ago, and I don't know how long ago, it was months, years, I read a survey, and I mentioned it. I don't know whether it's on a Sunday night or Sunday morning or a Wednesday night Bible study. But I made mention of a survey that was taken of 7,000 preachers in America.
7,000 preachers in America responded to the survey, and in that survey, 60% of Methodist preachers said they did not believe in the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Preachers. 51% of the Methodist preachers did not believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus, that he did not come forth from the grave. And it's that kind of preachers that are standing behind pulpits around the world today. 95% of the Episcopalians, preachers, don't believe that this Bible is the Word of God, inerrant Word of God. Let me say this today. I want everyone to understand. I know there's been some errors in translation. I know that. We don't have the original. It's been copied from the original and then from the most ancient and then from others. But I want everyone to know the Bible is God's inspired word.
Yes, it is.
And there's a committee today that I've mentioned before, an ecumenical committee, out of various denominations, and some of those are Pentecostal denominations, that have come together to go through the Bible and take those parts of the Bible that are not relevant for today out of the Bible. Let me share this with you. No man has the wisdom to take one word out.
Amen.
It's God breathed.
Amen.
It's the Word of God.
Amen.
And 95% of the Episcopalian preachers of our day do not believe in the inert, inspired Word of God. I thought, how sad. It's almost unbelievable. And I am not here to pick on Methodists and Episcopalians. This thing has gotten into the Baptists and the Methodists and Pentecostals. It's everywhere. Everywhere. Concerning the straight and the narrow, we're told that only a few are willing to deny themselves and take up the cross and follow the Lord. Only a few are willing to lay aside anything and everything for Christ and the church. Only a few are willing to pray sincerely, not my will, but thine be done. Only a few are willing to separate themselves from everything in the world, like I preached last Sunday. I don't know how much longer I have to preach, but I know this, sir. I'm going to preach separation from the world and under God as long as I have breath.
Amen.
Only a few are willing.
Amen.
Some people are holding on some things that are not valued at 10 cents. What are you saying, preacher? He said, only a few. He's speaking. I was reading the Bible this morning. I'm reading from 2 Chronicles. And I read of Asa the king, how that the enemy from Ethiopia came against them. And they were outnumbered. Way outnumbered. The Ethiopians had 1 million. 1 million, the Bible says. Of the armies to come against Israel. And Asa the king prayed and said, God, we need you. Like Jehoshaphat prayed, our eyes are on you, Lord. And God came on the scene, and they defeated the Ethiopians and won the victory. Did you know what? Regardless of the numbers out there, God's still God.
Amen.
And the victory is ours if we serve God. And what I've read from the survey, I hope that everyone understands, I am not here to put down Catholics or Baptists or Methodists or anybody. I want everyone to know we're living in perilous times.
Yes, we are.
We need to keep our eyes on the goal. Hallelujah. Only a few choose to travel the straight way that leads to eternal life. But I intend to be one of those. In Jesus' sermon, he warned those in the last days of the religious world. He said many of them will be religious, but they will still be without salvation, without being saved. They'll be religious with no heartfelt repentance. They'll be religious without being born again. Religious without having a personal experience with the Almighty God. Let me share this with you today. When you got saved, brother, you were born into the family of God. Now that's a personal experience. That means that he became your father. That means that Jesus became your elder brother. That means that you are part of the family. Just as much so as when you were born physically, whatever the family, Parnell family, when Carl Parnell was born into the Parnell family yonder in Roanoke Rapids. He was a part of that immediately of the family. You and I were part of the family of God. Immediately when we were saved. But so many religious today don't know one thing about being born again. Don't know one thing about being saved. You talk to them, some people in the churches talking to them about being born again, they don't know a thing about it. Talking to a Methodist man, my wife and I, some years ago. We were visiting in his home, a good man. Attended that church in the store building. He lived close by, they could walk on Sunday nights. We were visiting, and he's talking about the Methodist church when he was a boy, where the power of God was there. Just like Brother Holloway used to tell us. How did God bless in those revivals and people shouting up and down the aisles in the Methodist church? This is what this man told us, my wife and I. He said, but I'm attending the Methodist church today. He said, I don't know the songs because the congregation doesn't sing. They have a choir that's trained and they sing very high songs. He said, as long as I've been in that church, there's never been one altar call. I haven't seen one person. And no one has been invited to come out and see one person pray for salvation in the church. He was an elderly man. He's telling us some experiences of the Methodist church when he was a boy. Let me share some with you today. That same God of the Methodist church years ago and the same God when you and I were youngsters is still God today. Amen, amen. But there's a straight and narrow way. And there's a broad way. And the multitudes are on the Broadway.
Yes.
And only a few are going in the narrow way. And the reason that is because the devil has made a lot of people believe it's too hard. I have to give up too much if I travel the narrow way. God requires too much. It costs too much. And I'll leave this with you and I'm going to hurry along. There'll come a day when you'll realize, I hope that you'll realize it soon, everyone. But if you miss heaven, there'll come a time when you realize it wasn't so hard after all, and yet I missed it, thinking that it was too hard. This is the best life in the world. Nothing to compare with it. And so many are religious, but they're lost. At the close of his sermon, Jesus told about the two house builders. He said, one built on the sand, the other built on the rock. The one that built on the sand, he said, when the storm comes, the house falls. So I want to stop right there. There will be a storm in your life. Now, that's not a lot to shout about. But the shouting part comes is, if you build your house on the rock, and the storm comes, and your house stands, you can shout about it.
Hallelujah.
Amen. He sent the man to build his house on the sand. The storm came, and it will come, but the storm blew down. It went down. But the man to build his house upon the rock, then the storm came, and the winds blew, and all the rest of the storm shook, but the house just stood fast.
Victory, praise God.
Amen. Let me tell you something. Without Christ, your life will fall. If you're without Christ, you're building your life on something that will never stand. If you build your life on anything other than the rock, Christ Jesus, it will go under. So I read that man building his house upon the rock. I want to preach the next few moments. Christ, the rock. I didn't ask Missy, what do you call the youth? Solid Rock. I knew it was rocking there, but I didn't go back to look it up. And so, Solid Rock. Build your life on the rock.
Right.
I want to go back to the book of Genesis. I'm not going to turn there to read, but when the children of Israel were brought out of Egypt, out of bondage by the high hand of Almighty God, brother, that was a miracle of miracles of miracles. They went down into Egypt over 200 years earlier, with Jacob for some 70 folks, and now they're coming out of Egypt after that time, and they are about 3 million strong. God brings them out with his high hand. They come down to the Red Sea and have nowhere to get across, and the people are standing there, and the enemy is coming from behind them, and God says, Moses, hold your rod out over the water. And you know the story, how that God blew the waters open and the waters rolled back, and they walked across the Red Sea on dry ground.
Right.
Brother, that's a miracle.
Amen.
But that's not all of it.
Right.
When they got across, the enemy decided, we'll go across. Man, this is ideal.
Yeah.
We don't even need a bridge. We'll go the same way. When they got part way, the Lord let the waters come back.
Right.
Now, the children of Israel were delivered. And the armies of Pharaoh were destroyed.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm.
They got miracle. They got over on the other side and hadn't been gone too long. They came to a place where they didn't have any drinking water.
Mm-hmm.
They're thirsty with no drinking water. And the people began to complain and murmur. The God that brought them out of Egypt, the God that opened the Red Sea, the God that had blessed them, the God that was feeding them from heaven every day. They don't have any drinking water, so they began to murmur against Moses. I told the class this morning, in my ministry, many a time I have felt sorry for Moses. I'm glad he made it.
Yeah.
He went through something.
Amen.
But the Bible says God told him what to do. I want you to take your rod. Have you got your cane with you? I'm going to be sorry for you. I want you to take your rod. See that stone, that rock? I want you to strike that rock. You know something? That takes faith.
Yeah.
3 million thirsty.
Mm-hmm.
All the cattle thirsty.
Yeah.
No water to drink. Take your rod. Strike the stone, the rock. And Moses obeyed. And the Bible says water gushed out.
Yes.
3 million drank all they needed.
Amen.
And more than the cattle because of the rock.
Yeah.
And that rock, Moses did not understand it. Moses did not know it. But that rock was looking down the road to a man named Jesus.
That's right.
Lord. He's the rock.
Yes.
He's the rock of ages.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Do you know something? God had his son smitten. Struck him. They struck Jesus. When Moses struck the rock, water blew it out. But when Jesus was crucified on the cross of Calvary, nailed to his hands and his feet, thorns, a crown of thorns upon his brow, all that he went through. When he was smitten, the Bible says the blood of the Lord Jesus flowed from his side. I want you to know that when the water came forth from the rock and they drank, it was like new life. They were refreshed. They were encouraged. There was new life they had. But when Jesus died and the blood was poured out for the sins of the world, and we accept the blood of Jesus, it is new life. Amen. It's eternal life. It's abundant life. Well, glory to God.
Amen.
I am glad that Jesus was willing to be smitten.
Yes.
Just like Isaac was willing to be sacrificed.
Yes.
Jesus, the Son of God, laid down his life, was smitten. He's the rock.
Yes.
If you have a thirst in the day of spiritual things, come to the rock. He's the rock of ages.
Yes.
I've already mentioned, if your life is not built on the rock, it's going down.
That's right.
Build your life on the rock. It'll stand when the storms of life are raging. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank God.
Yes.
The rock, Christ Jesus. I read on in the Bible two other thoughts that I wanted to mention this morning. First of all, from the book of Exodus. Secondly, from the 16th chapter of Matthew. Jesus was with the disciples. We've mentioned this oftentimes. He was with the disciples in Caesarea Philippi. They were talking together about various things, and Jesus asked the question to the disciples, "Who do men say that I am? What's going on in the marketplace? What are they saying about me?" And some said, "Oh, some believe that you're Jeremiah raised from the dead, or Elijah, that fiery prophet." Jesus turned to the disciples, "How about you? Who do you say that I am? And Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Listen to this. And Jesus said, Simon, son of Jonas, this one can come out of your mind and your heart. My Father has revealed this unto you.
Yeah.
They're going to say, and I'm not quoting it, I don't have it in memory right now in the 16th chapter of Matthew, but it says, upon this rock I will build my church. You know the rest of it? And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Upon this rock, what was the rock? What was the rock? Peter said, Jesus, you are the Christ. The rock is Jesus. The gospel. There are churches today that are built on everything seemingly except Jesus.
That's right. That's right.
Some are built, I thought of Mormonism, church built on supposedly one man found some gold plates in a mountain. No one else has ever seen them. I'd hate to think that my destination for heaven or hell was based on a man that some folks thought was a lunatic. How many doctrines? Some people say today, I've asked questions. How do you know there's so many denominations and so many religions? How do you know which one's right? I've even been asked, how do we know that we're right? How do we know that what we're preaching is true and what we're teaching? How do we know? So I'll try to answer this morning. I know because it changes our lives. It takes somebody that's lost them in the pit of sin and changes them immediately.
Yeah.
And they become children of Almighty God.
Yeah.
This is not something hearsay.
No.
This is not somebody told me this, but it's out of this business. It's real. Amen.
Hallelujah.
My God. Let me just leave something with you today. The best denomination. Well, let me just give the answer to that. How can you know? How can you know it's right? How can you know who is right? This is the answer.
If the rock, Christ Jesus, is the one that you're serving, you're standing on the rock.
Yes.
You're on the right one because he's the only one.
Yes, right.
There's only one religion. There's two religions in the world.
Yes.
Not Baptist. No. Not Methodist. No. Not Assembly of God. No. The truth of the Bible, yes. Jesus Christ,
yes.
Is the rock.
Yes. Right.
Every life built on anything else than Jesus will fall.
Amen. Amen.
Islam has told those young people that they'll strike bombs upon their fathers and blow themselves up and kill others. They'll go to heaven. Young men will have 72 virgins for their enjoyment in glory. I would never want to know. That didn't come out of the Bible. They're telling us that all of the Muslim religion, Islam, and the God of the Bible are one and the same. I want you to know that is a lie from hell.
Amen.
Amen.
Only one rock.
Yes.
His name is Jesus.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, and I will build my church. He's built on the rock. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I know that you understand as well as I do that the devil has tried all of these years to try to destroy the church of the living God.
Yes.
He's done everything he knows to do.
Yeah.
To try to destroy the people that love God and serve God and put them down. How many times my wife in this condition she's in today and facing surgery. She's mentioned, but honey, she said, and I understand and I believe you understand. Honey, we've tried to do everything that God's asked us.
Yes.
We've tried to live right. We've tried to obey God.
Yes.
Why? Why? Why can't we have healing? We've had healing before. Why can't we have healing today? Let me just share something with you. I don't have the whole plan, but God does.
Yes, He does.
I don't know if He has to do everything, but I know one day He's God.
Right.
And He's built the church. And it's built on the rock. And the church is going to stand the test of the ages.
Yes.
We're going to be tired of accepting people. But we're going to come on the victory. Hallelujah.
Yes.
We're going to cross the finish line. Running the race. Amen. And we're going to win. We're going to win. Because God has said, if you're going with me, we're going to go together. And you're going to win. Listen, the church is built on the rock. The family is built on the rock. The life is built on the rock. The Lord Jesus is going to stand.
Yes. Praise God. Praise God.
Thank you, Jesus.
I will build my church, and Satan can do what he will, but he will not destroy the church. Moses struck the rock. Jesus said, I'll build the church, and I am the gospel is the rock, founded upon the truth. Finally, I want you to turn with me to the second chapter of Daniel. I just want to read two verses, and I'll be very brief. Daniel chapter number 2. I'm going to give you a little bit of background. I'm going to read this and we're going to pray.
Daniel was in captivity. Had been there for years. Already in Daniel's day, there had been two world powers that had been anti-God and anti-Jewish. They were Egypt and Assyria. You can read that in history. You can read that in the Bible. At the days of Daniel in Babylon, Babylon had become the third world power. Egypt had fallen, Assyria had fallen, and now Babylon has come to power. Daniel is a captive in Babylon. God gave him a vision of the end of the future. He said, Daniel, after Babylon falls, the Medes and the Persians are going to be the world power, number 4.
Yeah.
And when the Medes and the Persians fall, the Grecian power is coming, the Grecians are coming to power, the 5th. And when the Grecian empire falls, the Romans will come to power.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You can mark it down, read the history. When Babylon fell, the Medes and Persians take the power. When the Medes and Persians fell, the Grecian by the name of Alexander the Great came to power. When the Grecians fell, Rome came to power. Rome fell. But they were not defeated. Rome fell because of sin. And the riot from the fall. And when they fell, there's never been another world power to rule the world. Because God has said, but in the last days, he said, when Jesus comes, there's going to be a tribulation period. And we are at the very threshold of the coming Lord. And he said, when the tribulation begins, he said, there'll be 10 federated states, 10 kings to rule with Antichrist for a while. 10 kings. And I believe the United, the European common market, European Union, there's a whole lot of exactly what the Bible says. But it says, there's coming a day. While they are ruling, the 10 kings are ruling, and then they give their kingdom to the Antichrist. Now I'm going to read verses 44 and 45, second chapter. Then the names of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou thought that the stone, mark it down. For as much as thou thought that the stone was cut out of the mountain with thy hands, that it break in pieces of iron and brass and the clay and the silver and the gold, the great God had made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. And I'm going to close with these thoughts.
Praise God.
I mentioned Moses struck in the rock, and more of us sat to satisfy the thirst of the multitudes, and when Jesus was smitten, the blood poured out to cover the sins of the world. I mentioned Jesus saying, upon this rock I will build my church, and the church is built on none other than the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I've read a story, I told you some history, and I'm going to be brief here and we're going to close. God said, Daniel, all of these nations that I've told you about are going to fall. In the end time, there's going to be a tribulation period. Worse than any 7 years man has ever known. During that time, there'll be war, and famine, and pestilence, and bloodshed, like the Lord has never finished. So I throw this out today. During that 7 years, we've had millions to be put to death in wars. Thousands upon thousands have died in war. But during that 7 years, you know how many are going to die? 3 and 1/2 billion. will be. A million is a thousand. A million is a thousand thousand. A billion is a thousand millions. And your 3.5 year period, 3.5 billion are going to die during the first half. So during that tribulation period, during that 7 years. There's going to be a tribulation. This is the part that I want you to understand. At the end of the tribulation period, I read about a mountain with a stone, with a rock cut out of the mountain with our hands. That rock is Jesus. Cut out with our hands being. He had no word of the Father. He was conceived of the Holy Ghost. Born of the Virgin.
Amen.
That rock was cut out of the mountain and rolled down the mountain and he crushed Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Media Persia, Greece, Rome, the 10 Federated States of the Tribulation Time and the Antichrist, and all the times of the world. That storm, the Bible says, destroyed it all, and that storm became a mountain. That storm became a mountain, and that storm is a rule. After the tribulation, it's going to rule forever.
Right.
In a realm of peace, that storm cut out of the mountain is Jesus.
Yes.
What was the father in Germany? He wanted to be the world power, world ruler. Kaiser Wilhelm. Napoleon wanted to be the world ruler. Hitler wanted to be the world ruler. But God said, no one's going to rule it. After all, until he comes back to rule forever.
Amen.
I've mentioned God, the Lord, the rock. Moses struck the rock before it came out. Jesus was smitten, and the blood flowed that last sentence would become. Jesus said, I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against him because he's a rock. Build your life on the rock. And finally, Daniel chapter 2, that rock that's cut out of the mountain. In the last days, after the rapture, after the tribulation, when he comes back on this earth again, that rock cut out of the mountain is going to set up his own kingdom. He's going to rule and reign forever. This is the good part of that, that you and I can be with him.
Right.
My wife is from the piano, you have a song, we're going to pray. If you build your life on the sand, you have nothing to look forward to.
Right.
If you build your life on the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, you have an eternity with the Lord.
Amen.
Will you stand together with me?
Amen.
Thank God. Thank